If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Well, the fact is that whether they're legal or not takes time to figure out. I associate myself remarks with a Senator Sass who says they're unconstitutional slop.
But will you sue?
I think that's right. Well, right now we want to address the needs of the American people.
They're going to address the needs of American people. Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Hi, I'm Dana Lash. Welcome. Welcome to my program, and I am back behind the microphone after not really taking vacation, but saying that I was taking vacation, so all the people aggravating the hell out of me about taking vacation would tell me to take vacation again. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I'll talk about that later. But the executive order, et cetera, Nancy Pelosi came out. Really, everything was in motion towards the end of last week. And I can I just tell you my perspective, my frame of mind right now for this? This may change. It may change. I'm a bit crabby today. It may change. Not that, but I mean, my perspective for this Nancy Pelosi story. So honestly, at first I'm like, okay, I want to read everything about it. I want to look at everything that was in it. And I want to make sure that, you know, what's all in it? Is there something that, you know, what are we getting? What are my tax dollars going for? What, you know, we have the $400 a week supplemental unemployment. That's to people who are out of work because of the essential government eminent domain on their ability to generate income. That's the $400. That was because the $600, it expired end of July, I believe. And then we have the student loan relief extension, the eviction protection, the payroll tax holiday that's going through the end of the year, which is amazing for Americans earning less than $100,000. And there's going to be more relief if there's a second term. If you're talking about making tax cuts permanent, I don't know how I could become more best friends with somebody than telling me that you're going to abolish the IRS after that. So, look, I don't like big government doing stuff. I didn't like the big government eminent domain of shutting everything down. This is our money. And for all the people out there who I see, what some people were mad because, like, for instance, the Paycheck Protection Program, the Ayn Rand Institute took some of it. And all these people who apparently thought they understood Ayn Rand and thought they understood, you know, whose money actually makes up the federal government's money from the taxpayer pool. They thought they really had one over. It's their money. If you're working and you're paying tax into the system, guess what? That's your money. Imagine that's your money and the government is the stripper's G-string. How about that? Invite me to your parties. So, you understand, right? This is how, and actually referring to the government in that manner is, I have to apologize. That is an insult to ladies in that industry. I am sorry, because at least you're honest about it and the government is not. And most of us never, ever actually get what we paid for. It's amazing. I mean, there's more honesty in the other transaction than there is in this. So that being said, I was looking at it through that perspective, then I saw certain Republicans who were losing their minds over this. And I thought, well, is there something that I didn't read in the language of the executive order? Is there something that I missed? No, it's just that you got Republicans who are trying to be contrary. Somebody used the phrase, and I was trying to remember who did it, but somebody used the phrase, the executive order is jackboot sniffing. And I promptly held a funeral for all the brain cells that logic killed. without the benefit of any alcohol to go with it, because that was so bad and so dumb and so uninspired and anti-intellectual. So I'm at the perspective now where I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they think about it. I don't care. Get us to opening up. I want to make sure everyone, I want everybody reopen. Ah, but there's the hurdle. And we're going to get into some of this, because now everybody's talking about the schools and everything else. And we're going to jump all into that, because I honestly feel that now it's not even about flattening the curve now. It's everything has to stay shut down so we all don't die. Have you noticed how that narrative's changed? Because that's the new narrative. Also, in part of his maneuvering over the weekend, and people, you can say, I just, they can sit here and talk about the illegality of it. We could talk about the illegality of the government forcing businesses to shut down. I would prefer to have that argument first. I would prefer to have the argument over whether or not you can even go to church. People are having to have their worship services in Walmart, for crying out loud, because so many different states and localities have shut down churches. Hell, my church isn't even open right now. My church hasn't been open since February, at a time when the churches should be out there. The churches are nowhere to be found. Man, where would the faith be with some of these churches back in the time of the persecution and everything else, right? So, oh, I'm full of it. Back from my so-called rest and relaxation. So the other thing that the president signed, executive order that's going to ban transactions with WeChat owner Tencent. I don't like Tencent. Y'all remember Tencent, right? It's a giant communist China company. But Dana, it's not owned by the communist Chinese government. Oh, you're right. It's totally not owned by the Chinese government. It's owned by a member of the communist Chinese government, who's also a member of the communist Chinese party. And the only way that you can be successful as a private entity in China is if you are down with the communist Chinese party and you basically do everything that they say, even operate your business within the CPC parameters. You're right. It's totally different. Anyway, the president... His EO, banning transactions with WeChat owner, Tencent. Tencent is a huge player in Hollywood. It's a huge player in gaming. Do you remember how Maverick was forced to take his the Taiwanese flag, the patch off of his jacket in Top Gun 2? Because Tencent was involved in the production of that film, i.e. money. They were financing it. And so they required, as a way to have that financed, for that patch to be removed. Tencent is so involved in gaming, the Activision Blizzard, part of, you know, Call of Duty, all of this stuff. They want to take over all of your entertainment, because entertainment is a great latent way to push messaging. And that's exactly what they want to do. Do you remember World War Z? With that film with Brad Pitt? They apparently had to change some of the setting and some of the story to get past the Communist Chinese Review Board so that they could have an opening in China. There's all kinds of stories of this. Do you y'all know Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right? Which I think was a brilliant film. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if you haven't seen it, you should. And if you're going to get mad at me for giving away this like non-totally spoiler, not at all, then tough beans. But there's a guy who plays Bruce Lee in this film. And it's one of the funniest scenes ever. It is hysterical. But the Communist Party of China did not want that film as it was to be released in all of their very coveted movie screens, which are far more numerous than those of the United States, I might add. They have more movie screens than we do. That's more dollar signs to Hollywood. And so Tencent and all these other communist Chinese production facilities are huge players, because they're just throwing money at Hollywood, which is why a lot of the messaging of Hollywood has changed. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they were trying to get past this the Communist Chinese Review Board so that they could have an opening. They could have this movie in China. But the review board had an issue with the way that Bruce Lee was portrayed in that brief scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And so they asked, not asked, they told Quentin Tarantino to recut the film so as to show Bruce Lee as a more heroic character. And then they could have the coveted opening in China on all of the movie screens in China that they wanted. And Quentin Tarantino told the Communist Chinese Review Board to pound sand. And he did not recut it. And that film did not play in China. See, not everyone has to bend a knee to Communist China. But a lot of people want to, because they feel that the cash they receive in return is a good trade-off. I mean, let's look at it. The communist Chinese are helping to facilitate more millions going into the NBA. Look at the gaming. Look at all the people who are mad over damn TikTok. To you, it's TikTok. To people with more than one brain cell to rub together, it's a communist government that is looking to collect biodata on every single person in the United States. I mean, if you're totally fine with that, then go ahead. By the way, I do love the unbridled irony of capital L libertarians trying to defend that. It is the most ridiculous circular logic I've ever seen in my life. And I just sit back, I grab some whiskey, and I watch. It's amazing.
Don't trust China. China is ass.
Guy's still my best friend. Why can't he, like, why can't we just make him run China? That would be amazing. That guy for leader of China. How about that? So Trump targeting Tencent. This is something to watch. I want you to keep an eye on this. Huge. Democrats had a bad night last, they had a bad week last week, I think. And I know that there was, especially last Tuesday, there were the Senate elections. If you got the newsletter, which I sent one out last week, but if you received the newsletter, you have the total rundown of everything as it relates to what you need to know about in the Senate. And the reason that I wanted to go over that, because there was a lot of discussion as to Kris Kobach and Kansas and all this stuff. And there was some infighting in the Republican Party, and I covered that. But what you need to realize is that in order to flip the Senate, Democrats only need to pick up four seats. Four seats. That's all they need is four seats. Doesn't seem like a lot, does it? Because it's not. And they definitely could theoretically do it. I mean, there's a definite possibility. However, I have noticed, too, that part of the strategy that they had going after some of these Senate seats, it was made a little bit more difficult by Republicans last week. So we'll get into some of that as well. Also, Black Lives Matter was photographed drawing guns on people who were trying to drive. I don't know if y'all saw this. Since we've been talking to and about the McCluskeys for so long, this was in a couple of different places, actually. But the video that they have, there's two people. There are two people that were blocking traffic and literally drawing guns on people who were trying to simply drive on the roads that their tax dollars paid for. I ain't heard nothing about no arrest in these cases. There's video out there. The video abounds. And Portland protesters set fire to a police union headquarters. Tensions rose again in Portland. Meanwhile, garbage media like the Washington Post decided to give the murderous rioters the Tiger Beat treatment. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to explain what that means as well. So I'm going to have the latest on the Rona and riots, which sounds like the worst club ever. Everyone needs to leave Sturgis alone. William Barr, he's planting some seeds out there. He's gonna be reaping a harvest in a little bit, I think. I'm fascinated by this. We've got that, a ton of cancel culture stuff, including 9-year-olds, people where they got married. What else? Hawaiian shirts, NASA. I feel like Stefan from SNL. I mean, it's the greatest cancel culture ever. We have all of that and a ton more for you coming up, so you don't want to miss it. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
I have to share with you the most 2020 headline ever. According to the National Park Service, what not to do in a bear attack? Push your slower friends down in attempts of saving yourself, says the National Park Service in a completely for real actual headline. They say if you're being confronted by a bear, there's a few things you should know before running away. They said don't run from bears or push your slower friends down in attempts of saving yourself. They're joking, but really, I think for a lot of people, they did not know this. And they said do not climb a tree because guess what? Grizzlies and black bears can climb trees. So just, you know, there you go. If the bear attacks you, try to fight the bear. I mean, literally, that's all you have left. Just fight the bear and just hope that your death isn't as completely gory as it is in all the movies when people are attacked by bears. Moving on. It's just a happy little Monday headline right there for you. Good night. So the a couple of things. New York City moms are fleeing the Upper West Side amid crime and chaos. And I just right now had an amazing idea of a play. Instead of like West Side Story, it's Upper West Side Story, starring singing and dancing New York City moms who are fleeing the crime. And well, you heard the story, right? It's because, and I mean, it looks absolutely awful. There's like drugs being, I mean, people are like shooting up right there. All kinds of, it's crazy. Plus, they said like apparently, I guess their organic composting stuff, that pickup stopped. I would think that it's a bigger deal that people are just crime is rampant. They had two new homeless shelters that were packed with junkies and registered sex offenders, and those they call them squalid conditions. And they apparently relocated another shelter or overflow from another shelter into one of the hotels that's right up there in their trendy little area in Upper West Side. I would actually go see that, and it would just be a bunch of Karens, right, with the Kate Plus 8 haircut, and they're all running away in their $5,000 strollers and their big, I don't even know what stroller costs that much, and big coffees, and they're running away from all the crime. I'm just saying. I would see that. I would see it. So Willie Brown writes, laughs ensue. Willie Brown writes this piece saying Kamala Harris should say no to a vice presidency. He is one of several Democrat operatives and politicians who are urging the former California AG and current senator to not consider a VP bid with Joe Biden. Interesting. We got more to explore when we return.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Aaron, your view of this, you know, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
No world. Are you for real? That's Brian Stelter. I don't need to introduce that. You guys know who that is. Is there anything like that happening? What do you think the left is? They've redefined journalism to just freak out over Trump. That's it. Crazy. I keep seeing, welcome back to the show, by the way, DanaLash.com, at DanaLash on Twitter, DanaLash on Parler, and Channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. I keep seeing new video of all these people that were, did you see this? They were going up and down the Magnificent Mile last night. And I keep seeing new, I just saw another piece of new video. I am amazed at this. I guess, did somebody have a smoke bomb? And then just running in and looting. So like there's a Tesla store that's getting looted. I just keep seeing different cuts of video. There was other video where people were just walking around with their stolen goods, walking around with all kinds of stolen stuff, handfuls of. This is not about inequality. It's about power. Have you seen the after part, the scene this morning? Have you seen what it looks like this morning in Chicago? Jiminy Christmas. It is awful. Awful. I saw aerial footage of like an Ulta, like a mall area, just totally trashed. Totally just destroyed. Good night. I mean, it's rough. That was going on all last night. You had I told you about how you had Black Lives Matter photographed drawing guns on people, videotaped two white dudes, Portland protesters setting fire to the police union headquarters. And they kept saying, you just can't control people's anger. Yeah, you can. They can control it themselves because they're grown ass adults. It's not you can't control. It's that they don't want to be controlled because this is all a tactic. Not a single bit of this is about inequality. This is about power. So the rioting in Magnificent Mile, apparently that got started because of a rumor that a kid had been shot. So you had 100 arrests, 13 cops injured. and a man opened fire on cops. He was taken to the hospital. Apparently, the rumor was that cops shot a kid, and so this all hell broke loose. Why doesn't this happen when grown adults from the community shoot kids? Why didn't this happen a couple years ago when there was a baby in a stroller shot as his mom was wheeling him down the sidewalk, walking the older boy to school? Two repeat offenders, felons, that had been released, shot that baby. But you didn't have people out in the street like this. This wasn't even real. 400 cops dispatched to the area. They faced intense violence and gunfire. And Lori Lightfoot says she warned looters who ransacked the city, "We're going to come for you." With who? The census cowboy? Y'all going to send the census cowboy out there? Go ahead and play Old Town Road and send the census cowboy out there.
I have some audio from this morning at a press conference where...
No, go ahead, where she's going to say, "Oh, people are going to come for you."
This is an interesting response from her. They're talking to the chief. Mm-hmm.
Or no? No? You don't have
it? Job for you, but just go by what's been done. There were no consequences for the people arrested.
Greg, let's be clear. I mean, don't bait us, okay? This is... No. Do not bait us. Do not bait us. This is a serious situation. People are concerned about their safety. Officers are concerned about their safety. So don't bait us. What we're saying is, as a result of what happened last night, there have to be consequences. We've got teams of people that are aggressively out there identifying the people responsible, looking at the plates, and we're going to bring them to justice. But when we do, and we do make those arrests, our expectation is that this is going to be treated with the level of seriousness that it should be.
Hmm.
We'll see.
Sure. Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But basically, the reporter was pointing out that the looters took advantage of the lack of consequences seen in the riots.
You think?
Like, you know, from day one. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody, but again, send out the census cowboy. That's really what's going to make everyone stop. Maybe send James Taylor, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Maybe send him up there as well. Manhattan District Attorney dropped a felony charge against a Black Lives Matter leader who was accused of assaulting an NYPD officer. Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance, this guy, Cyrus Vance, he dropped it. He ordered the charges against Derek Ingram, 28 years old, dropped. And this is from New York Post. He apparently hit a female cop and shouted in her ear with a bullhorn or something like that. He was getting in her face and screaming at her right in her ear with a bullhorn, full volume. She was hospitalized. She has hearing damage. And they sent a team Friday of NYPD officers to arrest Ingram, but they retreated because there was a standoff outside the house and an angry crowd confronted them. He later surrendered at a police precinct after the crowd left. Wow. Unbelievable. See, there's no respect for law and order. Law and order is entirely broken down. But that's not what the governments are concerned about. They're mad about Sturgis, where bikers are going. They're having their annual event. It's in South Dakota. Check out this. This is a story from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and I use story very generously here. Many are worried that the rally will cause an unimaginable outbreak of COVID-19. And then they linked a story on Sturgis. Who the hell's many? Many are worried. You're just going to make that up?
Right.
Many think that the Las Vegas Review-Journal are a bunch of morons. Right? Many said.
I'd say more than many.
I'm going to use that all the time now. Many say you may or may not be an animal abuser. Right? I mean, just because you can say it. You don't have to qualify it. Journalism. Nobody, they're up there for Sturgis, and everyone's so worried about that. There's been story after story. Meanwhile, y'all not worried about the outbreak that's happened after all the riots and the protests? And don't even gaslight us for 1 second and act like that ain't what it is. And then, imagine, after all the riots and all of this stuff have been happening, now you have people who have the audacity to try to blame law-abiding gun owners for the uptick in crime caused by either actually pulling back funds from police or talking about not supporting them and not bringing charges against people they arrest. No, these people are all mad at Sturgis. Leave Sturgis alone. It looks fun. Leave them alone. I mean, good grief. There's most of them are outside anyway. I'm just saying, let people see. Here's the thing about free choice. People can do what they want to do with it. End of story. No, they don't want people getting together up there. You can only, you know what? It's not Sturgis. They're having a big old protest. There it is right there. We solved your problem. It's a Black Lives Matter protest. That's what it is. It's a giant Black Lives Matter protest on motorcycles.
That's okay, then.
Yeah, it's totally okay. Them's the rules. I was reliably informed that Dems were the rules. Bill Barr blasted the far left over the weekend. He said they made politics a secular religion. And he said Democrats excusing the violence are cowards. There was some really good audio from him over the weekend. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 24. He was asked about Antifa. And he just gives it straight no chaser. This was great.
They would be, you know, generally for bringing down any administration. They are a revolutionary group that is interested in some form of socialism, communism. They're essentially Bolsheviks. Their tactics are fascistic. And your description of them is consistent what I've seen.
And what he also said was incredibly telling. He spoke about how the tactics that they use, it's a form of urban guerrilla warfare. Listen to this, an audio soundbite 7.
It's a form it's a new form of urban guerrilla warfare. You know, Mao Tse Tung used to speak about the gorilla being like fish swimming in the ocean, the way the gorilla moves through the people. The gorilla hides out among the people as a fish in the ocean. And what they do is they are essentially shielding themselves or shrouding themselves in First Amendment activity. They go into the demonstrations, which are exercising First Amendment activity, and they insinuate themselves in there to shield themselves. That's where they swim.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. They wrap themselves in the veneer of First Amendment protest. So that's why you'll see peaceful protest, but then you see the riots that happened and the damage and the destruction, and the media doesn't help it. The media doesn't help because they are so eager to conflate protest and riot because they so desperately want to make Trump out to look like the tyrant that they've accused him of being, but of what they themselves are and what they actually support themselves. And can you imagine if there was a Democrat president in the White House, the media would actually be so hardcore. Well, they were. Remember when the Tea Party happened, and the Tea Party wasn't in any way violent. I know that. I was one of the original founders of the new movement. Wasn't in any way violent. Not a single instance. Not a single instance of violence, not anything. But the way that the media reported it was that Tea Partiers were out there doing worse than what you see with the... Actually, they accused everything that Antifa is doing, they accused the Tea Party of doing. And the Tea Party never insinuated themselves within any group. They just simply... were protesting with their message, you know, very out there, very publicly, very straightforward. And that's the conflation that the media encourages. This is where you should be able to trust your media, but now you can't. Your media has turned on you. Audio soundbite 6, Bill Barr speaks to this and says, well, media is not, it's not that they don't know that it's happening, it's that they're choosing not to tell you. Listen.
I've been appalled at what's on this violence because it's happening right out in the streets. Anyone with eyes can see what's happening. They see the violence. They see these groups of agitators in their black outfits and their helmets and their shields, which incidentally have the hammer and sickle on them most of the time, rushing the police, causing violence, throwing rocks, the people showing up with the rocks and the frozen bottles. That's happening. Yeah. That's happening in front of people. You don't see it on any of the national news. You don't see it on the networks. You don't see it on the other cables.
No, you don't. No, here's what media is doing instead. Washington Post published a glowing photo essay on Antifa riot fashion. Did you guys see this? They gave this violent, murderous mob the Rolling Stone cover treatment. They turned them into Tiger Beat icons. You have 70 days of violent protests. People have been killed. There have been the homicide rate soaring, tons of shootings, arson, And Washington Post photographs these rioters and tries to humanize them and say that, look at these people. I tweeted the story. I'll put it up on Parler as well. And I mean, it's amazing to me. They gave them the Rolling Stone magazine treatment. You remember the Rolling Stone with Yoko Zarnaev, one of the Boston bombers that was on the cover? Remember that one? It's kind of shocking that this is how they decided to do it. Marissa Lang is the author of the story, and this is how she teased it on social. She says, quote, Trump called them terrorists, anarchists who hate our country. He said the city is worse than Afghanistan. But they wear GOP insults as badges of honor in this city. Teachers, moms, and elected leaders say, sure, they're Antifa. Welcome to Portland. And they legit do this, or try to do this photo essay where they legitimately try to turn these people into, you know, it's like the Rolling Stone cover. I've never seen anything like it. And they have them, they're teachers. That's the thing that was really terrifying. And they took the Brulotti family, retired nurses. They were encouraged to join the protest by their adult children. And it literally shows them in riot gear. And then it has this other guy who's on a lawnmower, and he's wearing riot gear. I wonder if they're all, but I've noticed that they all have like the same mask on, the same gas mask on with like the pink caps. So basically what it looks like the Washington Post did was get these losers into a studio, and it almost looks like they just handed them props in a way, because they're all wearing the same gas mask. Did you notice that with a photo essay? They're all wearing the same gas mask. Huh. Kind of interesting. They're really trying to make them out to, look, here are the ones that are, they're Antifa. I have the feeling that some of these people, maybe they're rioters, but I have a feeling that some of them are just protesters, and they just take a smattering of both groups and they put them in the same group so that, again, they can conflate it and act like, oh, it's the same group. And so when Trump talks about these people as being terrorists, look, he's calling these two women terrorists, and he's calling these people terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. Look at this nurse. I seriously doubt that this individual, and by the way, she's dressed up like she's going to go into a riot with her big, giant diamond wedding ring on. Sorry, I am buying that. If you're going into a riot, and I've been in protests and I've been in riots, y'all ain't wearing your damn jewelry. So try pulling this over on somebody who hasn't been there and done that. You ain't wearing your big ass solitaire diamond out there, Karen. You ain't wearing your big old 1-carat diamond ring out there to riot. Who you fooling? Good night. Some cat's in his True Religion jeans. Yeah, I'm real sure you're going to be wearing those out to the riot. Please. But that's the thing. Conflate it so that the group that's wrapping themselves in the action of First Amendment isn't going to get targeted, and you can't do anything. That's why I think it was smart the way that they approached it, by declaring, because Antifa, I don't know why people are mad at calling Antifa a terrorist group, because Antifa themselves have said this. We've got to get moving on, but I have a lot of info for you coming up, as well as we're going to talk about churches and a lot of stuff on school openings and a ton of stuff on cancel culture.
It's the Dana Show.
The New York Times is so eager to rewrite the history now that everyone's talking about how the founders of the Black Lives Matter group are admitted Marxists. And there's this whole piece over at the New York Times, where Jonathan Martin tweets out that conservative critiques are based on the fact that two of the founders are self-declared Marxists. Wow, only two, and they're self-declared? The hell? We're going to discuss this and a ton more. You don't want to miss next hour. Stick with us.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
Basically, he signaled that he's going after Social Security and Medicare. I don't know if he understood that. You never know what he knows and doesn't know about how the government operates. But basically, he was talking about ending the financial contributions we all make into Social Security and Medicare through the payroll tax.
How many times have we heard this? We were just actually talking about this on break. How many times have they threatened they're going after Social Security? How many times? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter. Dana Lash on Parler, official Dana Lash on Facebook, 248 Pluto TV via the first. Gosh, I've heard this for forever. Here's the real news. There is no Social Security. They done stole it all. They spent every last dollar. The Treasury's been saying that that Social Security's been insolvent for forever. They already went through it. That's the thing. Hey, instead of going after your Social Security, how about we have a conversation how the government thinks that they're better than you and that you're too stupid to manage your own money going into your old age? The fact that I have to give the government a single bit any more of my money because they're going to keep it and look out for my well-being in the future is ridiculous. No one believes that the government, that it's a Ponzi scheme. I've said this for 10 years. Going after Social Security and Medicare through payroll tax cuts. You guys already went through Social Security, though. You already went after it. You can't go after something that isn't there any more than you have. The economy has got to reopen. Bottom line. I think that Social Security should be privatized, meaning you should have a choice whether you want the government to take it or whether you would like to keep it in the bank and maybe have a better interest rate on it. What? Not maybe, you will. Better return. Goodness. I've heard the thing on Social Security. That's going to be their main line of attack on this, but I don't know if it's going to be that successful because I think that they're going to get out messaged on this. At least I hope that they will. So is your all's church open yet? Because mine isn't. Mine's been closed since February. And I know that a lot of other churches have reopened. I mean, you can go to Walmart and apparently socially distance, but you know, you're apparently not responsible enough to go to church and socially distance. I love the way that people have gotten around this. I saw some footage of a church service that was held in a Walmart, and I saw footage of a church service that was being held in a casino. Actually, a casino, yeah. It was evangelicals. It was a bunch of evangelicals in Las Vegas. I'm reading this one tweet. The governor banned church services, but casinos can operate at 50% capacity. So people were praying in the casino, which I love. And then a church decided to go to Walmart, their local Walmart, and worship. And there's video of them singing hymns and all that stuff in the Walmart, doing the social distance and everything. That is, I love it. I love it. Now, in some instances, they have the government actually trying to keep churches closed, which I think is insane. And I don't think that the state should have that kind of authority. Because it is an absolute abridgment of the First Amendment. You're being told that you can't assemble in X amount of numbers. That's unbelievable. And there are a lot of churches who, I don't know why some of the churches aren't reopening. I don't understand it. And quite frankly, I'm a little miffed about it. I'm going through a little miffed period over it. I'm going to be real with you. I am. I'm a little aggravated about it. I'm a little aggravated at the lack of a church voice in many areas. Now, I'm not saying I expect churches to get political. I don't believe that churches should be political in that regard. I think that certain issues, unfortunately, are political. Churches should stand up for life, and they should stand up for, you know, biblical principles. And a lot of that is going to contradict with a secular society. And instead of trying to figure out how you can lessen your stance so that it doesn't contradict, try to think how you can make your message more appealing instead of watering down your purpose. This goes into what I've been talking about, the 5 points of America, the undermining the belief of in God in America. Like in my area, I don't know why churches don't have to remain closed, but our church has decided it wanted to continue to remain closed. And I guess, you know, if people want to do that, that's fine. But I've been telling my husband, I'm like, I like the lesson and I like the messaging, but my gosh, come on. This is kind of ridiculous. In terms of transmission, it's interesting how quickly the narrative keeps changing. I'm sure that they're going to try to find some cases of somebody contracting something at a church service. And some people, I think, are just going to have to look. Can you pre-register for services? Can you do something like that? I mean, I've even seen services in California that remain open. At this point, I think you're abdicating your duty. Here we have a time when the church should be the loudest, and so many people are looking at trying to keep the dollars, trying to keep parishioners happy, and they're trying to make it to where they don't step on any toes or ruffle any feathers, so let's not reopen so as to not make anyone mad, and we'll reopen when we think it's best. That, you know what? That's garbage. It's garbage, and it's cowardless, and I think it's demonstrative of a lack of faith. Fear is a lack of faith. There was a friend of mine that was sharing similar thoughts to this and was agreeing with me. Because here you have I don't know if I've ever seen such a great attack on the faith and persecution of how that faith is carried out ever. I mean, how many times, you know, I've sat in church for years. And at the time when the church should be open and the church should be the loudest, there are too many of them that are not. And my friend had said that, yeah, God was with David, but David did have to swing that stone. You know? Stephen had to stand tall and choose, live free or die. You have the entire world bending a knee to secularism, Marxism, bending a knee to the world instead of standing for truth and faith. And this is the time when the church should be the most vocal. And they're not. That will do more to drive people out of the pews than anything. I'm telling you, as somebody who's looking at leaving mine and going for another. Now, as far as schools go, I saw that, Austin's not going to open schools for a while. Newsom shut down schools for the remainder of the year. Apparently, even Catholic schools and all private Christian schools and every other private school. So kids can go do their work inside of an Austin Independent School building under the YMCA. But you can't send your kids to school. You can't send your kids to school, but you can send them to a damn daycare that's being held inside of a school? Are you kidding me? That's KXAN down in Austin. For real. And then you have in Illinois, you think that's crazy? Check what they're doing in Illinois. Illinois District includes students of color in groups with first chance at in-person learning. A suburban Chicago school district said that students of color are going to have the first chance to return for in-person learning when schools reopen. They said that it was because of inequity and racism and classism. It's District 65, Evanston and Skokie. They're not going to force teachers to work on site, but when kids can come back, the district is going to give first priority to black and brown students or anyone that it considers marginalized or oppressed. Now, can you imagine for one second if a school district said, yeah, we're only going to allow the white kids to come back first? Really? How is this legal? How in the world is that legal? I can't imagine. There's more. It's even crazy. So I was looking at this one piece that was written over Washington Examiner, and they said, commenting on the order that closing only non-public schools, one union official said public education is about leveling the playing field. So you actually have some out there trying to harm private education for a bigger goal. And it gets into teachers' unions, transactional political entities. Any rivals are crushed. Well, I love this paragraph from Washington Examiner. They talk about they're out of self-interest, fueled by a homogenizing ideology that fetishizes centralization and disdains pluralism. Teachers' unions are waging war on private schools while unions and governments around the country wait to follow suit. True. A lot of these decisions aren't made on science, they're made on politics. I mean, this, and they said that there's going to be, it is an attack on private schooling. That's one of the things that they're fighting over or getting ready to fight over in California right now. Yeah, they said that the front line in the union's assault, the teachers' union's assault, is in Montgomery County, Maryland. And they said that they are, the county government barred non-public schools from meeting in person. Again, not based on science, but based on politics. They said that NPR had a story in July about two public school teachers who saw a golden opportunity. Launch a professional venue called Beyond Tutors. Teachers keep their day jobs with the public school, but they launch this and they, for parents having a virtual school year. And they said smaller private schools like religious ones are going to suffer from an unneeded ban on in-person schooling. I mean, they were even going after like some of like the pod learning too. Heaven forbid there be any kind of competition. That doesn't benefit either you, the taxpayer, nor the student. And Gavin Newsom, that's what they did in California. Shut down all the schools in California for the rest of the year, including private schools. Taxes have increased. Homelessness is skyrocketing. Businesses are leaving the state. They're shutting down schools. I'm telling you. And then they have... There's this one public school teacher. I got to read this. I know we got to get going. This guy, Matthew Kay, is a public school teacher. And he was tweeting. He goes, so this fall, virtual class discussions will have many potential spectators, parents, siblings in the same room. We'll never be quite sure who's overhearing the discourse. What does this do for our equity inclusion work? How much have students depended on the secure barriers of our classrooms to encourage vulnerability? How many of us have installed some version of what happens here stays here to help this? Wow. And he goes, while conservative parents are my chief concern, I know the damage can come from the left, etc. Wow, wow, wow. I think it's great because you can see how teachers are trying to reprogram your kids. Mm-hmm. Look, if I don't know what's going on in my kid's classroom, my kid doesn't go in that classroom. And if you're a parent that doesn't know what's happening in your kid's classroom and what kind of discussions your teacher's having with your kids, you better be more plugged in. It is your responsibility as a parent. Do not outsource the raising of your children to the state. And if you're not plugged in and you don't know what the heck's going on in your kid's classroom, that's exactly what you're doing. Don't call yourself conservative. You don't have to homeschool your kids. You don't have to hire a private tutor. You just got to be plugged in and know what's happening in your kid's classroom. My kids have always told me what their teachers have discussed with them, and when anything arises, I know about it. And I will get in front of the teacher. I've done it before, many times. So I have a bunch of cancel culture coming up, including how Teen Vogue says that if you pay rent, then you pretty much like should own the property more than the landlord. Oh my gosh. Hawaiian shirts are now apparently canceled. I have a lot of stuff for you that you don't want to miss. And then we got James O'Keefe coming up as well. With the new school year quickly approaching, it is important to stay connected to those you care about now more than ever with a company that shares your values. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, can help you support and save. Now through September 12th, switch to Patriot Mobile with promo code DANA to get a free phone or a free month of service. Plus, you can build your own bundles with multi-line discounts, free activation, and a free gift. As always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations you believe in. When you switch, a portion of every dollar will support Students for Life, a nonprofit group that helps educate teens and young adults on pro-life choices. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so let's see. This is a sad story, don't get me wrong, but it is a crazy headline. A guacamole maker mishap in New York State killed a former mayor and injured two others. Yes, Kane looks terrified. A 67-year-old former mayor in New York was killed and two other people were injured Wednesday morning when a food processor being tested for guacamole production exploded. Joseph Kapp, who was the mayor of a place in New York, Rensselaer, in the 90s, and was currently VP chairman of the Board of Trustees at the Hudson Valley Community College nearby, succumbed to his injuries after he and the other victims were taken to a hospital after the incident in Schenectady, New York, according to the Albany Times Union. It was a high-pressure vessel, and it was being tested, and it exploded. That is crazy. That is a crazy headline. Almost as crazy as the story of the Libertarian candidate getting bitten by a rabid bat. Yeah, the 2020 Libertarian Party presidential nominee was apparently bitten by a rabid bat, according to reports. This is the most 2020 headline ever. I changed my mind. Joe Jorgensen had said, I will not be able to attend the campaign rally. I'm getting a rabies vaccine as a precaution after having been bitten by a bat near the start of the campaign tour. Wow. So bat, this is like the virus started, I'm just going to say, you know. Powerful 5.1 magnitude earthquake jolted Charlotte yesterday, one of two to hit North Carolina. Pick up another one. Amazon is, you know how the story about the malls that are not being used, etc.? Well, Amazon is looking to turn malls into their fulfillment centers. That's actually a pretty good idea. So coming up, James O'Keefe, he's suing the FBI because they said he's a prohibited possessor, and he's not.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
Looking for a shotgun?
Okay, let me go run this real quick.
You have to run me through the system, right?
Yeah.
The federal thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a federal background check.
Okay. Denied.
Yep.
Sorry, you were denied.
Denied?
Ah, man, unfortunately, they denied you.
Denied?
You're an American citizen. You haven't done anything wrong. And now, all of a sudden, they're shoving a polo stick up your ass.
Project Veritas, the videos.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I am. I don't know if that has something to do.
That's why I know the name.
Yeah.
I recognize. That's why I know the name. You're James O'Keefe?
Yeah.
Dude.
I hope it's not retaliating against me because of our journalism.
I'm probably sure it is. I bet you it is. That's and you probably have a lawsuit on your hands.
It's totally because of that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Remember, this is the same FBI that was fabricating a false accusation and fabricating evidence against the president of the United States in order to undermine a free and fair election. Do you think for one second that there would not be individuals against whom certain partisan, and less than a year ago, I never believed in the idea of deep state, and I have been convinced, but that you would have these deep state operatives that would have political beef to settle against private citizens. And as a result of that, they could erroneously, falsely be placed on the prohibited possessors list in one of the categories at the National Crime Information Center from which the 4473, the background check, pulls from. I've told you for quite some time about the flaws with the background check system and the easy easy way that people can politicize this and the no-fly list and the watch list, because there's different lists, all of it. And I think for the first time, you're now seeing a real story of an individual who has been falsely targeted. And if that's the incorrect phrasing to use, then by all means, let the FBI speak about it. James O'Keefe with ProjectVeritas.com joins us in... I think it's a... I was amazed watching the video clips, and that was some of the... an amalgam of the footage that we had played there, just a collection of it that we had played there, where James went to different gun stores, different FFLs around New York to purchase a shotgun. And every single one of them told him that he was denied and that he was listed as a prohibited possessor, despite the fact that he has never, ever been convicted of a felony. In fact, he's never been convicted of anything for which the minimum penalty is the year in jail, etc., which would place one in a prohibited classification. And James joins us on the phone right now. James, welcome to the show, and excellent work on this, by the way. Unfortunately, not total congratulations, because you've been denied your Second Amendment right.
Thank you, Dana, for raising awareness to this issue. I know it's something that you're passionate about. And yes, I've sued the FBI in New York State. For those listening, obviously this has nothing to do with New York or Florida or any state. This is a federal list, the NIC ICS list. The FBI has illegally placed me on a federal watch list designed to preclude convicted felons from purchasing a firearm, and the FBI has falsely claimed that I'm convicted of a felony. We've inquired. We've gone through the process of getting an answer on this, and it's because they have placed me on that list that labels me a felon by law. So I'm suing, and I'm sure, Dana, there is probably thousands of other people that are also placed illegally on a list but don't have the means or the wherewithal to fight it the way that I am and get the publicity the way that I'm getting. And if you look at those tapes from the gun stores, you'll see the clerks just shocked and amazed that I've been placed on this list. So obviously I'm doing a lot of good big stories right now, and we're going to release stories in September and October on voter fraud and many other things. And I want to purchase this shotgun to protect myself and my loved ones, and I can't do it.
Yeah, no, you can't. And you can't do it at a time when national unrest, I don't think we've ever seen such tension, and we haven't seen such soaring homicide numbers in quite some time. You bring up something very interesting, and we're talking with James O'Keefe of ProjectVeritas.com. Because when you look back, I look at the VP who's running for the Democrat Party has the nomination, running for president. I think this was back in like 2016, 2017. And Joe Biden was doing an interview with media, and he was asked about people who fraudulently fill out those 4473s, the one that you honestly filled out and submitted when you were trying to buy a shotgun. And he had told the press at the time that we just don't have the time or the resources to prosecute everyone who fills out a 4473 and when fraudulently fills it out. And when I went and I looked at numbers for 2009, and John Lott over at crimeresearch.org has done a really good deep dive on this, looking back multiple years, you would have thousands of initial denials. And the majority of those, the vast majority of those, were actually false positives, because apparently the criminal background check system isn't as stringent as, say, just a regular criminal background check that businesses would perform. Because, James, if you were trying to apply for a job somewhere and you were turned away because, say, a prohibited or a felon's name was similar to yours, you would actually be able to file suit. That would be, I mean, everybody would be all over that. But for some reason, because it's the Second Amendment, it's treated less than. Do you suspect, as I and others do, that this is kind of like a backdoor way to not only fully undermine not just the system, but also as a way to say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be able to bear arms anyway. We're just not able to actually verify the people who are, who are trying to make the purchase.
Yeah, Congress has abdicated their responsibilities to the so-called administrative state, right? The agencies and apparatus that we don't vote for these bureaucrats. They're just there forever. And I know that going through it in some type of appeals process might take months or years. God knows if they ever get back to me. Certainly they won't get back to me by September. Yeah, precisely. So when I got an attorney and asked why the FBI had denied my ability to purchase a firearm, the FBI did disclose that I am identified in the FBI's NICS list as a convicted felon under 18 U.S.C. 922 G1. Mm-hmm. This is patently false. I've never been convicted of a felony or any other crime defined on that form, Dana. I think it's a violent misdemeanor. Have you ever had any history of mental illness? These sorts of things. I've never had that happen. So the guy at the clerk said, this is very unusual. Comes back immediately. They got you on something. So the answer to your question is, yeah, I think these agencies don't care. It's just an administrative state that exists to... basically you're in limbo and an answer never comes back to you. And that's why I fight them. And the clerk in upstate New York said to me, his name is Ray. And he said, unless you go after them, unless you put fire under their butts, nothing will ever happen. You have to go after them. The only thing they respond to is power. They don't respond to reason. They don't respond to patience. That's the last thing you should do. So I'm like, screw it. I'll file a lawsuit. Like literally in a few days, we filed this lawsuit. And but what attorneys tell me, Dana, gun attorneys tell me that this is a pretty open shut case. Like my name should be taken off the list in the next 60 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's good. The scary thing is that you're James O'Keefe and you have the ability to really publicize this. Whereas, say, you know, you just have like a regular middle class average Joe who doesn't have, you know, Project Veritas, and he doesn't have the social media platform, and he can't go out and just grab an attorney. I mean, what were you told about the recourse that regular people have if their name is erroneously put on this list and they're deprived of their rights?
Some type of you probably know more about this than I do, but you can appeal it. You can appeal mm-hmm. the decision on the NICS. And again, from what I've read and heard, that takes months, if not years. You know,
and
it's just
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, there was one guy's story I read. He spent over $5,000 trying to get his name cleared because his case was very similar to yours. And he spent something like $5,000 to
get his
name off
the list. Maybe what patriots need to do, I hear what you're saying, is that people don't have the publicity. But you know, whatever it is, I think this thing, $10,000, which is so much money, and most people don't have that type of money, and to fight this in court. And, you know, my point is that I think patriots need to somehow rise together and do something, even if it's in small to medium-sized numbers. This is the bottom line. The only way that this sort of corruption and malfeasance, which is becoming less shocking day by day, the only way we can fight these people is to stand up together and just do what it takes to fight them. Maybe it's 100 lawsuits. Maybe it's 1,000 lawsuits, Dana. Mm. But not just me, but many people need to realize that the only thing these people respond to is power. That's why I don't settle lawsuits. I fight when people sue me, and I'm in the right. I don't settle. And when the FBI puts me on a list erroneously, maybe because it's an error, I hope, but probably because they're targeting me for political reasons, I fight. And that's what we as American citizens need to do. And if Project Veritas can be a vehicle for people in any way, if you will work for one of these agencies, for example, we have people inside Google and the Department of Justice and other powerful interests that are seeing this sort of targeting, you can contact us at veritastips@protonmail.com. And we can strap a camera to you and expose what these people are doing. Because if there's one thing that the communists fear more than anything else, it is being exposed.
Mm. And I know that there are people who are in some of these positions in government that do listen. And I hope that they, because this is the time when people need to make the choice. I mean, we are unfortunately at that threshold. Do you go in or go out? We're at that point. Let me ask you this. Last question for you. We're talking to James O'Keefe, projectveritas.com. He's filed a suit against the FBI because they've fraudulently listed him as a prohibited possessor. You were never sent any notice that you were now ineligible to legally purchase a firearm, correct?
That's correct.
So most people, and I'm curious, when you look at the number of initial denials that are out there, and which are false positives, and the number of people who are erroneously placed on lists because their names are just similar enough to someone who's really is ineligible, it makes me wonder how many people out there may be in the same position but just don't even know because they've never been notified.
That's correct. That's the real story here. Is it's not about just me. It's the thousands of people who don't even know that they're on this list. But Dana, in my case, my own government in 2015, put me on some type of list when I travel, when I was at the border. Customs and Border Patrol and the Department of Homeland Security had me detained at my border when I was coming in and out of Canada and other countries, and on the screen, because I was not supposed to see this, but I peeked over at the screen, and the Customs and Border Patrol agent had a screen that said, quote, subject is an amateur reporter, an amateur journalist who engages in publicity stunts designed to embarrass the government, unquote. Now, this was blatantly unconstitutional. It was so unconstitutional that when I published my little YouTube video where I quoted the screen, within days I got taken off that list. Within days. This is 4 years ago. There was even a guy at the Washington Post named Jerry Markin, who now no longer is at the Post after the paper has become a liberal, woke, clickbait rag. Mm-hmm. But this was a guy who actually called the Department of Homeland Security and asked them, why the hell did you put James O'Keefe on this list? Taken off in a day. So again, my point is, I've been targeted before by my government because I'm a journalist and I investigate corruption that you know, what the newspapers are supposed to do, but mm-hmm. the newspapers don't do it. And my point is, the only thing they respond to there was exposure. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I hope that other people, this NICS issue, I just became aware of this. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. If anybody deserved to own a firearm, it would be an employee of Project Veritas, because we are the types of people that these people are trying to come after and hurt. And I don't know what to do in this country but expose them. I don't know if there's any other recourse. I mean, I'm not even sure the courts are ultimately going to work. I think it's about showing people the nature of our administrative state and the bureaucracies therein and how they are trying to hurt Americans' rights in their own words. We have to expose them. That's our mission. Again, it's Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, tips at protonmail.com. We got hundreds of these people to reach out to us, and we're the only organization in the country that provides the service of giving them these little cameras and telling their stories and defending them. And this, I hope this lawsuit in the Second Amendment community inspires some people to get involved in that.
I hope so, too. And I think this story is going to strike a chord with a lot of individuals. And I'm again, we're talking with James O'Keefe, ProjectVeritas.com, one of the few entities out there that still practices journalism and watches out for the people instead of just performing propaganda for the state. James O'Keefe, we're going to watch this case, and I know we're going to be talking with you again. Please keep us apprised of any developments. And hopefully, I hope that you do get someone within the FBI or ATF or someone who runs and helps oversee the system at NICS. I hope that someone does reach out to you with some information, and we can finally take care of some things and regarding people's rights and stop this witch hunt by administrative officials. It's awful. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas.
Could be someone in your audience.
Of course. Take care. James O'Keefe, everyone. And please, I hope that people do that, because I know that there are people out there across the country who listen to the program that I know some of them are in ETF and elsewhere and FBI. I know for a fact. So hopefully, because you have to make a choice. We're at that point. Make a choice. I want you to think about all the unrest that you see on your television screens. And I want you to notice how you have a particular ideology calling for a defunding of the people that the gun control crowd told you were the only people who should carry guns. And then I want you also now to look at the ideology that is calling for a defunding of the people that they said should be the only people to carry guns. Now they also want to make sure through administrative trickery and fraud that you are deprived of your Second Amendment rights to defend yourself. Interesting, right? Isn't it?
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, man, where to even start? Well, The Smoking Gun has a piece on how a Florida man was jailed for alleged felony Slurpee battery. What the hell is that headline? Investigators say that 40-year-old Brian Duffy doused a 7-Eleven employee with a Slurpee during a 9:20 a.m. argument about the drink's price in a store in Pinellas Park. According to the arrest affidavit, Duffy handed the cup full of a Slurpee drink. He backhanded a female victim's hand, and the Slurpee flew onto the victim's person. Jeez. Yeah, and he said that he was being charged too much for a drink. The guy's got a rap sheet and previous battery conviction. No one is at all surprised about that. Also, according to... Oh, there was a bear got tranquilized. Wildlife folks were helping near Tallahassee, Florida, and the bear ran into the water, and a Florida man who is with, I think, Florida Fish and Wildlife had to run in and save the bear from drowning. That's nice and also terrifying. I've never seen a drunk bear before, and that bear looks drunk. We got a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere. Cancel culture. Hawaiian shirts are canceled.
We're going to burn your building down.
Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter.
Guy needs a lozenge. That's the peaceful protesters. Remember them with their peace? Do you hear what the peace sounds like? So peaceful. So peaceful, so amazing. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, Dana Lash on Parler, channel 248, Pluto TV via the first. You can watch our simulcast of the radio show. I have a lot of stuff here. I just have a lot of content for you. and I'm whether I kind of want to get into some of the cancel culture stuff because I think it's incredibly important. Oh, by the way, tomorrow we're going to talk about how Beth Moore is garbage, by the way. Yeah, so have you, you're probably going to get offended if you like her. Just going to say, we can think differently. That's, you can like her and I'll still be friends with you. You're wrong, but you know, I'll be friends with you. Probably also like disco too. It's okay. So, I'm joking on that last, very last part. So I want to share some cancel culture stuff with you. And I also want to, we've been discussing schools reopening and how ultimately now it went from, the kids are okay. They're not going to get infected too. We need to shut everything down because the kids are going to kill us all. What happened? I believe the children are future. They're going to kill us all if we don't shut the schools down and keep us all from dying. Oh, my gosh. In my area, there are progressive activists that say reopening the schools is racist. That is literally their argument. Yeah.
Is that really an argument, though?
It's not an argument, but that is their argument. They think it's one. It isn't. I want to share with you one of the dumbest things that you're going to hear. Cancel culture related. And it's from Teen Vogue. By the way, responsible parents don't allow their children to read Teen Vogue. We need a sidebar, like a really good name for a smart, not state-dependent chick magazine. We need that. So this chick, who is a columnist at Teen Vogue, tweeted a story called Abolish Landlords, Housing is a Human Right. And she literally tweeted this, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Quote, if my rent money is paying for my landlord's mortgage, shouldn't I be part owner? Second tweet, quote, I just did the math of how much money my landlord has gotten from me, and a gif of a girl saying, hold my earrings, please. And then her story. Ooh, I'm full of responses. And then she says there's an eviction crisis, housing is a right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's apparently a failure of capitalism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we need to abolish the police and not have any private property or whatever, I don't know. But the logic of this chick saying that because she pays rent, that means she should be just as much of an owner as the landlord. How about you try going to buy your own property? That's it. So by her logic, do you know that I've like for years paid membership to a gym?
Right.
I own part of the gym. Guys, I didn't realize I was a gym owner. That's so crazy. Guess what? I also apparently now am a part owner of a frozen yogurt place.
What?
That's so crazy, you might say. But no, that's the new rule. And who of us does not go to the grocery store and buy groceries? Oh my gosh, you guys, we are all part owners of grocery stores. Like, OMG. Wow. How about you just abolish tenants and require people to only live in the houses that they own? That's her logic, right? I would have been homeless growing up and as an adult in my mid-20s, but hey.
And by the way, it's important to point out that you can find a rent-to-own type situation.
Sounds like you're talking some racist cracker smack there, Kane.
I had no idea. My bad. It just comes out.
Sidebar. Cracker smack would be a great, like, what's the cereal with the frog?
Honey smacks?
It's honey smacks. Cracker smacks. Amazing.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. Okay, back to our main topic here. Yeah, if you pay membership to anything, if you pay in anything, then you partially own it. So that means I have a lot of tax money that's going to Planned Parenthood. So because I own them, I guess now, can I shut them down?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that how you want to make that work?
Yeah.
So that's her money, but not his money? Because that's his money that he invested in his property. He can't do what he wants to with his money, but she can? Girl. That's like 2 + 2 = 11. That is not even remotely in any way logical. This is who the columnist is for Teen Vogue?
Yeah. Woke.
she friends with Bad Baby? Because I would suspect something like that. Guys, Hawaiian shirts are canceled. They are. The woke mob has declared Hawaiian shirts to be a symbol of white nationalism. This comes through a piece from The Economist. It says how white nationalists hijacked the Hawaiian shirt. This is an actual thing. Yeah. They say that it's really a thing. They say that Hawaiian shirts... I guess because white people wear them and some white people carry guns and wear Hawaiian shirts. I don't even know. They say that the Hawaiian shirt is becoming the uniform of white nationalists. Fascism has a history with fashion. In the 1930s, the Nazis designed their own shirts and commissioned Hugo Boss to produce them in black and brown. And their modern American cousins, blah, blah, blah. So they keep, you know, because fashion and fascism are the same because they both have fashion in them. They used a photo of somebody wearing a Hawaiian shirt and also having a gun properly holstered. Now, they say that it's the Boogaloo Boys uniform, but it's a 4chan troll. Literally, it's a trick that 4chan decided to pull on everyone, and the dumbest, meaning everyone who writes at The Economist, believed it. Yeah. They say that it is some, like, appropriate... Just shut up. It's a shirt with print on it, you moron. Shut up. Quit making everything racist. I'm done with it. Oh, my gosh. And that's not even the... Oh, my gosh. That's not even the beginning of it. So, that do you remember Maddie Ziegler? She's the chick who... one of my girlfriends was religiously watched Dance Moms. I never did. Never did. Maddie Ziegler apparently was one of the girls in it. I only knew because she was in Sia's video. Well, she is 17 years old now, and she went on social media last week saying that she apologized for videos that she made when she was 9, where she thought it was funny to mock people in accents, and she totally groveled because that's what society calls for. She says, "I'm honestly ashamed. I'm so sorry." Blah blah. They're gonna go after, I guess, what, a girl who's 17 who did something when she was 9, but the, you know, 60-year-old blackface abortham in the governor's mansion in Virginia is totally okay. Sit the hell down. So she says that, I mean, she was 9, and I guess she made fun of someone's accent when she was 9 years old because she was 9, and now we have to apologize for stuff that when you're 9. So they were trying to cancel Maddie Ziegler. Also, NASA renamed, NASA decided to rename Eskimo Nebula and Siamese Twins Galaxy for celestial phenomena because they said the names were quote-unquote harmful. The agency said in a statement that it has become clear that certain cosmic nicknames are not only insensitive but can be actively harmful. A planetary nebula discovered more than 300 years ago will no longer be the Eskimo Nebula. Sidebar, I didn't even know this damn thing existed because of the moniker's quote-unquote colonial implications. But go ahead and take over this, the Hagia Sophia. That's totally not colonial. It is, but it's not. A pair of orbiting galaxies will no longer be referred to as the Siamese Twins Galaxy because the name was offensive. Sidebar, Lady and the Tramp is totally going to be canceled. Blah, blah, blah. People ridiculed NASA for being woke. Just look at damn space. Just look at space. You're supposed to find them aliens. Don't do this stuff. Space and aliens. That's all. Think of that episode of SpongeBob when all he needed to do was breathing and fine dining. All that you are given tax dollars to do is look for dem aliens and do space stuff. That's it. No, but nobody wants you to do anything else. Gosh, I'm so not even done, you guys. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, they had to apologize because why? They apparently had a wedding. When they got married, they had their wedding at a place that back in before any of us were alive, it was a plantation. So they said that they are deeply and unreservedly sorry for the wedding that was held at some sort of plantation. That's a real thing. Fast Company apparently talked about it. It was the Boone Hall in Charleston County. And Reynolds discussed his shame over their 2012 wedding. And the guy who ironically plays Deadpool says a, quote, mistake like that can either cause you to shut down or reframe things and move you into action. So they donated 6 figures to the NAACP as an apology for having their wedding at a place that used to be a plantation. But heaven forbid that you have your wedding at a place that's trying to generate money and income for an area. It's no longer a plantation, and now anybody can get married there. But whatever, let's go ahead and ruin that business because of what it was back in the days of yore by people who aren't alive anymore. Yeah, they actually had to do that. It's not like they endorsed slavery. You had your wedding at a plantation? I mean, what in the world? Seriously. This is the guy who played Deadpool. I know. Cancel him. I'm slightly joking, but I can't take him seriously as Deadpool anymore. They should have had a Deadpool response. Like, yeah, it used to be something really bad, and now it's something that can celebrate something good. So it's just in a nice place. Nobody's going there because they're romanticizing flipping slavery. They go to places like that because it's a pretty setting for photos and it can accommodate a lot of people. Eh. Seriously? We're doing this? Are we going to cancel? Guys, everything where something bad happened once is now canceled. It's everywhere. Just snuff out Earth, right? You know what? I kind of want the aliens to come and just flip us off from the little, you know, cat moose quarters of their space ship and then blow us up. I'm almost there. Come on, Smod. Sweet meteor of death 2024, man. Yeah. I'm right there. I can't believe they apologized for this. Oh, I'm so not even done. Yeah. So now they're trying to cancel. They got mad at Hulu because Hulu canceled High Fidelity after its first season and Zoe Kravitz was in the movie. Now, you all remember High Fidelity, the movie that starred John Cusack and her and Zoe Kravitz's mom, Lisa Bonet, was in it. And I thought that movie was annoying and everything already, and I can't believe they tried to make a television show out of it because the movie was about a self-involved douchebag who was played by a self-involved douchebag who embodied everything that chicks hate about self-involved douchebag dudes. And to think that the character or story is somehow redeemable simply because you're going to lazily flip the sexes is the stupidest form of BS writing I can possibly imagine for a show. Not only did it deserve to be canceled, but I want to bring it back and cancel it again.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The University of Georgia says that students should consider wearing a mask during romantical intercoursal times, according to a report. Oh, yeah. The University of Georgia says if you're, you know, doing the thing, wear your mask. Because that's how germs work, apparently. They only are through the facial area. It's how all of that works. Science. Next, we're going to tell you about how to tell the weather by burying your head in a rock into a pile of dirt. Oh my gosh. I'm trying so hard to get past this headline and not make fun of it for the rest of the time. Why the hell are there koala prints at a crime scene? I just feel the need to bring this up because apparently koala fingerprints are so similar to humans that even crime scene investigators have been confused by them. Did you know that this is like a scientific thing? Why would there be koala prints at a crime scene? That koala is the Antifa, the koala division. Coronavirus shutdown causes new risks at CDC. Says CDC, Legionnaire's disease. I don't even know what the hell that is. I don't even know what Legionnaire's disease is. The CDC says Legionella bacteria, that sounds like a lemon-scented soap, has been found in their water systems at the CDC. They closed several buildings at leases in Atlanta. They said the bacteria likely grew out of the prolonged pandemic shutdown. What? They said the bacteria can cause deadly pneumonia and grow in warmer, stagnant water. So plumbing in buildings that have been closed for a month could actually be a great... You could get Legionnaire's disease? For real? Everything. Like, what's next? More murder hornets? A new app lets Fort Wayne bicyclists get green lights? I'm sure that's totally not going to be abused. And a school district says kids can't wear pajamas for online classes. Here, I thought this was America. I have a crazy story coming up for you. Don't miss it.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
guess what? Some governors, I think, have gotten some things wrong over the past 6 months. And sometimes they've been capricious and arbitrary. And when those things happen, we've called it to her attention. And most times they've corrected it voluntarily without us suing. So if they allow theaters and other get-togethers, but then they put stricter limits on church, that's a violation of constitutional rights. The church should not be treated worse than some commercial operation.
No, it shouldn't. But that's the thing. And in many instances, it is. And churches have every right to push back. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Dana Lash on Parler, at Dana Lash on Twitter. Channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. DanaLash.com. I'll have content going up there for you this evening. I have to tell you the story that is one of the funniest, most ridiculous snapshots of our current era. So I was speaking with a friend last night. And this friend works in a particular creative industry. And this particular creative industry, like many creative industries, is an industry that kind of leans to the far left. It's an industry that has no problem with throwing people throwing them under the bus, using them as a sacrifice for the Marxist movement that wraps itself in what it says is equality, but ultimately it's total inequality. And so the entity that is this creative industry for which my friend works had already gone through this. There had been a couple of people that they had just thrown under the bus and gotten rid of because of social justice, right? And this is an entity that had said, it was one of those of many that said, we're going to commit to hiring 50% black employees, et cetera. Didn't say anything about merit, didn't say anything about educational background or professional accomplishments or skill set or training. It just said 50%, they're going to fulfill this quota. Well, they came across a problem. As it was relayed to me, there was discussion about one of these executive positions that was open. And it was open because they had a cancel culture wrongly with the individual that formerly held that particular position. And so a guy was hired, an individual was hired, several people actually were hired. And they all thought that they were meeting their quota. And there was an Asian individual that was being considered for to be brought on who could have been fast-tracked into that position. But no, Asian doesn't count. They're not black. Then they all started talking about this one particular prospect. But here's the problem. The prospect that they were talking about that they hired because they thought that the individual was black is actually Persian. And that person identifies as white. So they apparently had some discussion. Let's put so-and-so in this position. That person's black. That would work great, except, oh my gosh, that person isn't black. That person's actually Persian. And then someone else chimed in. Actually, that person doesn't even identify as Persian. That person literally identifies as being white. I was listening to this and I could not imagine. It's like Monty Python meets The Office. When you're grappling, no one's talking about how well the job can be done. It's what is the skin color of the person doing it? That's the only thing that matters. We don't even care if the person can actually do this job. That's like saying we need to hire a doctor, a really talented surgeon. Here's a list of applicants. Well, hire the black one. Hire whatever black applicants there are. Well, wait a minute. Do you want to talk? No. I mean, I don't care about the skin color of the person in the job. And for this instance, if it's surgeon, can they do the job well? Why is that not the top consideration? Because it's racist. Why is it racist? Well, because what? In order for that to be racist, you actually have to counter. Progressives have to counter with their real belief that they don't think minorities can do these jobs, which is why they feel the need to have some kind of quota like this. Now you tell me who's the racist. Skill, why doesn't skill matter? Because why? Why doesn't skill matter? Because you don't think minorities are skilled individuals at any particular job? You think that you have to lower expectations or standards because you don't think that any minority member of the United States can meet the same bar that everyone else can? How is that not racist? That's rhetorical, because it is. I'm tired of asking the question, and I'm tired of pretending that it's not. No, that's racist. So the people telling you, how dare you not say skin color matter doesn't matter. It's everything. Those people are the ones telling you that you're the racist, because you're not putting all the emphasis on skin color while they are. Some of y'all being gaslit. You imagine sitting there at that workplace. Well, put so-and-so in this job. He's black. Actually, he's Persian. Well, he identifies as white. The hell is he? It's insane. Yeah, qualified should be. Well, what color is he? Qualified? He's qualified. What race are you? Qualified? Did you guys see the story about this bear? Whoever did this has some beans, man. A black bear, some place in North Carolina, this group called Help Asheville Bears put a $5,000 reward out because they want to find the person or people responsible for putting a Trump 2020 sticker on the tracking tag of some bear. Although the bear looks like it's in a cage. So, I don't know. They said that the HAB, which is the Help Asheville Bears, that they wrote a Facebook post and they said there needs to be a full investigation. Apparently they came across this bear and had a collar. They discovered that the bear is being tracked by the North Carolina Urban Suburban Bear Study, and they have the heavy collar. I do think, you know, I don't know what I think about the heavy metal collar on there. I'm not a fan of it, but the fact that somebody put a sticker on it. Somebody went up to a bear and put a Trump 2020 sticker on the bear. That wasn't a member of Antifa.
No.
I'm just saying.
Not at all.
Yeah. Now, I think what this organization needs to do is to mobilize immediately. And, I mean, definitely find out why the bear has to wear this awkward tracking collar. But most importantly, please protect it from Democrats who are going to try to register it to vote. Or more importantly, I think really the group needs to protect the bear from the Antifa people who are going to manifest out of the ether and scream racist at it and try to punch it and set fire to its home. Just saying, because that's kind of how this seems to go, at least when you look at the news. I just think it shows that the bear is loved. Look at that. Or what if the bear put it on himself? You don't know. I mean, what if it's a person identifying as a bear? Who the hell knows?
Right.
How dare you assume? Everything's crazy. It's up, down, whatever. Democrat operatives created a sham school safety organization to try to make Scott Israel look competent. I don't know if you saw me on Twitter over the weekend, but I was a little bit sassy pants because Scott Israel, who is the epitome of white privilege, is trying to run again for Broward County Sheriff. So I'll put it in. Now they have a sheriff Tony, who's been amazing. He was appointed by Ron DeSantis, and Sheriff Tony actually keeps his deputies up with proper training, and which is what Scott Israel didn't do. That was uncovered by the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas commission. It was in the wake of the mass shooting that Scott Israel's inaction helped contribute to. So, in looking at this, there was this group that was legit created by some Democrat operative who's donated to Scott Israel before. And it's like if Irwin Mainway created a group. You remember Irwin Mainway? He was Dan Aykroyd's old skit on SNL. And he was like the like skeezy toy salesman. And yeah, he would Johnny Bag a Glass. It's a great toy for Christmas. And then the chick who played Murphy Brown was like, this is literally just a bag of charred glass pieces, of rough, jagged glass pieces. And he's like, yeah, it's fun. You know, kids go and they find glass everywhere, right? They find it, you know, out in the parking lot. They find it out in the road. This just puts what they want in a bag. Johnny Bag a Glass. And then they had the switchblade toy where you press a button on the soldier's back and like knives stick out of his arms. Anyway. It's like Irwin Mainway created this organization called the School Safety Council, and they act like they're about school safety, except for the fact that it was legit created by a Democrat operative, and the Democrat operative had donated to Scott Israel, and so and he's like a longtime donor and all this other stuff. MomAtArms.com has the whole background on this group, and they have who does the group. Their executive director is a guy named Curtis Lavarello. And he has donated to Scott Israel tons of times. He's donated money to him before. They have all the receipts over there. And he's a Democrat. Curtis Lavarello is a registered Democrat. All this stuff. And he's the executive director of this sham school safety organization that, because Scott Israel needs to rehabilitate his image, because remember, the reason that the murderer in Parkland was able to go out and legally purchase a firearm in the first place is because Scott Israel didn't follow up on all the phone calls that his office got, nor did Scott Israel actually, when he could have. And this isn't just my opinion. This is the opinion of so many different attorneys across the state of Florida, as reported by the Miami Herald and others, other local media, where he actually had every authority to do this because of the digital death threats that the murderer had been sending fellow students in the days before he illegally purchased a firearm. And had Scott Israel done his due diligence and uphold the oath that he swore to protect the citizens and serve the citizens, he could have arrested that individual before that individual legally purchased a firearm, and he chose not to do so. So he's and then, of course, don't forget his deputies, that he didn't keep up with their training, which is why Coral Springs were the first inside the building and not Scott Israel. He was too busy running to find a camera to talk to instead of respond to what was happening at the school. And so, and then after that, remember Anthony Borges, who was one of the survivors at Parkland, told how Scott Israel snuck into his hospital room to take a picture and act as though, oh, he was there talking to his friend Anthony. The Borges family, they were livid over it, and they blasted the sheriff for it. So he's really trying hard to rehabilitate his image and look like, oh, look, people realize that I'm school safety. It's like having Colonel Sanders run a protection racket for chickens. This is not at all in any way remotely a school safety organization. And I'll let me put it like this. I'll put it in terms that progressives can understand. Broward County has its first black sheriff, a competent man who keeps up department training and does his job, and Democrats are desperately trying to oust him for this power-hungry, corrupt white dude, a bad cop on whose watch kids died. You let that sit and marinate for a little bit. Yeah, the school safety group is a joke. The guy who runs it is a lackey operative. And Scott Israel is the epitome of white privilege. That's a case of a bad cop. And in this era of trying to get bad cops out, why in the hell are Democrats trying so hard to keep them in?
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
You look at what they want to do. They want to raise everybody's taxes, everybody. And they want to do the Green New Deal, which will decimate our country and decimate. It's ridiculous, too. It's childish. I actually say the Green New Deal is childish. It's for children. It's not for adults. Anybody that believes in that is, I don't know, maybe it's politics. I don't even think it's good politics. They seem to think so. We'll see how they do.
Mm. Yeah, he's right. That was the cow fart one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. I have to share this story with you. You know what? I just put it in Slack. I can't. This is one of the people apparently responsible for decisions that affect you, your healthcare decisions.
Yeah.
So there was like some radio, whatever, in Pittsburgh. And one of the reporters, I guess, during a press phone call, conference call, they called the Department of Health Secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, a man who identifies as a woman, sir, three times during a press, this press phone call. And the reporter was asking about the state's endgame for reopening after the pandemic, according to the Pennsylvania Capital Star. And he said, sir, in both his initial question and follow-up. And Rachel Levine, Dr. Rachel Levine, the guy who identifies as a woman, said, please don't misgender me. And that was really insulting. Would it be insulting if I also said I was a doctor? I'm curious.
Yeah, I guess so. It'd be insulting for me not to refer to you as doctor, I think, yeah.
I identify as a doctor. How dare you? I am Dr. Dana Lash.
Dr. Dana Lash.
Hell, if Al Sharpton can be a reverend, right. I sure as hell can be a doctor.
Right.
And so it became like a thing because the Dr. Rachel Levine, and I guess he changed his name to that, was mad because he said that the reporter misgendered him. Oh, man, I'm made of... We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Yeah. Kane, Today in Stupidity.
It's rare that Today in Stupidity segment involves actual truth, but when that truth comes from a Democrat, that's when we'll play it. Pelosi was on TV yesterday and accidentally admitted that China is for Joe Biden. China!
What?
China is for Joe Biden. Listen to this.
What they said is China would prefer Joe Biden, whether they do. That's their conclusion, that they would prefer Joe Biden.
Oh, well. Geez, let's get him elected then. Is that
what
we should do?
That's really honest.
Oh, my God.
They are for him. I think they like him.
Oh, yeah, because they know they're not going to get the backlash.
What was that supposed to do? What was she? Because normally she's a lot more strategic than that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think she was probably making a point that someone was saying that China wanted to, and then maybe tried to, I guess, combat that point of view, but it didn't work out that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, tomorrow, folks, it's going to be back. DanaLash.com. I'll have more content up there for you this evening, and we'll send a newsletter out tomorrow. But speaking of tomorrow, Beth Moore is wrong, and I think is a biblical grifter. It's going to make some people mad, but... That's how it goes. I'll explain why tomorrow. Folks, we got all the other stuff coming up for you tomorrow, too. DanaLash.com. Have a great night.